With plenty of TVs and beer options, make Walters your spot for the Caps playoff run. Game 3 is Friday night at 7 p.m. as they look to avoid falling into an 0-3 hole. Walters is located across the street from Nationals Park.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
A swing and a long drive left center field. This ball is gone way, way back and into the back of the Dodgers bullpen. A home run for Teoscar Hernandez leading off the second inning. And the Dodgers are on the board. 1-0. 1-0 game, eighth inning. Weems delivers. Swing a little looper toward left. That's going to drop in for a base hit. Betts around third will jog home. Freeman's on his way to second. And the throw from the left fielder Vargas will not be in time and offline. It's a double for Freeman, and it's now the Dodgers 2 and the Nationals nothing. 2-1 Dodgers, 2 out, nobody on, bottom of the ninth inning. Phillips kicks, delivers the pitch. Swinging a ground ball toward the middle, shaded that way. Rojas behind the bag at second, fires on to Freeman, and the game is over, and the Dodgers have come to Washington and swept this three-game series.
And welcome to Nats Chat for Friday, April 26, 2024. Along with MadsenSports.com, Nationals insider Mark Zuckerman, who is at Nationals Park. I'm Al Galdi, host of the Al Galdi podcast. The good news is that Mackenzie Gore on Thursday pitched very well. The bad news is that the Nats on Thursday lost. A 2-1 loss to the Los Angeles Dodgers at Nationals Park, completing a three-game sweep. The Nats in this 2024 regular season now are 10-14. If you would like to sponsor the Nats Chat Podcast, we'd love to have you on board. Email Tim Shovers at natschatpodcast@gmail.com. You can sponsor the podcast for a specific game or series or for longer, whatever you want. So we on Thursday at Nationals Park had a pitcher's duel. The pitcher's duel was between the Nats' Mackenzie Gore and the Dodgers' Yoshinobu Yamamoto, with whom the Dodgers this past December 27th announced as having agreed with on a 12-year contract. What is a 12-year, $325 million contract? Not bad. Gore was good. One run in six innings. Yamamoto was a bit better. Six scoreless innings, seven strikeouts. Mark, the Nats over the three games in this series totaled just four runs.
And they can't say there weren't opportunities. I mean, I guess Wednesday night when they had 22 in a row retired, there were not a lot of opportunities. But in the opener and in this one, they had their chances. Runners in scoring position. They were 0-7 through the seventh inning, finally got it one in the eighth to finish 1-8. And this is a day where they didn't need to do a lot. They just needed to come through once or twice in a big spot with a runner on base, runner on second, runner on third, whatever the case may be. And this has been a recurring problem, and it is getting kind of frustrating because when you get that kind of effort from Mackenzie Gore, we'll talk about this, but I actually think this was one of the most important starts he's made in his career since coming to DC. The way he pitched and under the circumstances, how he performed and what the results were. To not be able to reward that, to not take advantage of that, to me, is a real waste. And, you know, maybe it doesn't matter in the bigger picture right now whether they won or lost this game, but one of these days it is going to matter whether they win or lose a game like this. And you would like for them to start winning some of these and really take advantage of that kind of start they got out of Mackenzie Gore.
Well, there was a phrase that Davey Martinez used regarding this outing for Mackenzie Gore during Davey's post-game press conference with you guys on Thursday evening. It was like growth moment or growth step.
Today was a growth moment for him as well, going back out there for the sixth inning, knowing he had not over 90 pitches.
And this was a really good outing for Gore for a variety of reasons, as you just alluded to. So he was coming off a rough outing, that 5-3 loss to the Houston Astros at Nationals Park this past Friday evening. Gore in that game lasted for just four innings, during which he allowed three runs. But Gore on Thursday, one run in six innings. Now, he did put some guys on base. He gave up seven hits, which were a solo homer, a double, and five singles. He issued two walks. He recorded four strikeouts. He threw a good number of strikes, 102 pitches, 66 strikes, 36 balls. Some things that stood out over the course of Gore's outing. Perfect top of the first. He struck out the Dodgers' number two batter, a certain Shohei Ohtani, on three pitches for the second out. Terrific to see that. Also, there was the double play. The Nats with Gore in this game turned a remarkable four double plays as the final two outs for each of Gore's final four innings came via a double play. The official X account for MLB actually tweeted something out about this. Gore over four innings inducing back-to-back-to-back-to-back inning-ending double plays. I mean, that is not something that you see often. So some really good stuff from Mackenzie Gore in this game.
So here's why I think that was really important. And in a lot of ways, you learn more about him from this outing than you do when he strikes out 11 Oakland A's. He's facing, obviously, one of the toughest lineups in baseball. But number two, he didn't have his best stuff, or at least didn't have his top command. He is pitching with traffic on the bases most of the day. Other than that first inning, nothing else was clean. And he gets pushed to go not just complete the fifth at 90 pitches. I thought that might be it for him. He gets the chance to come back for the sixth, gets up over 100 pitches for the first time this year, and comes out of all that with only the one run allowed. So we've talked about the biggest key for Mackenzie Gore isn't necessarily can he have more of his dominant starts. It's can he take a start that could go south on him and manage to turn it into a decent start. And in this case, it actually turned it into a very good start, one run allowed in six innings. So that's, I think, where the growth is coming from that Davey alluded to. And I feel the same way about it. I think you learn more about him in a game like this than you do on a day when everything's clicking and he barely has to break a sweat. He had to work for this one to come out of that with one run in six innings. And that's ultimately what you need from a frontline big league starter.
For sure. And, you know, his overall body of work this season is looking pretty good. He now has made five starts in this regular season. ERA a 3.12, WHIP a 1.38, which is, you know, perhaps a bit high. But the strikeouts are there. He's averaging 10.73 strikeouts per nine innings. So he's doing good work. I mean, if these end up being his final numbers for the campaign, I think most people would take that. So really good to see that from Mackenzie Gore in this game. The Nats bullpen was fine. Three relievers combined to allow one run in three innings with three strikeouts. So Jacob Barnes, a scoreless top of the seventh. Jordan Weems in the top of the eighth did give up a run on a leadoff walk of Mookie Betts, and then a one-out opposite field RBI bloop double. This was an odd double, but it was by a notorious Nats killer, Freddie Freeman, to left field for a 2-0 Dodgers lead. But Kyle Finnegan tossed a perfect top of the ninth. I mean, he gave up two runs to the Dodgers in this game. The pitching did its work and then some.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it just feels like such a wasted effort. I don't know that you could have held those guys to fewer than two runs in this game. And, you know, one Teoscar Hernandez homers off Gore. It was a changeup way up in the zone, just a bad pitch, and he killed it. But then after that, nothing else. And the runoff Weems, like you said, kind of a flukish double from Freeman. But really, the trouble was the leadoff walk of Betts and then letting him steal second to get into position. These are the little things that do make a difference in a low-scoring, tight game like that. But overall, it's hard to find a lot of fault with what the pitching staff did in this game. And I thought the defense as well was outstanding. You mentioned the double plays, but think about how they turned some of them. Some really nice turns up the middle from Abrams and Garcia, and a great diving catch by Jacob Young in right center field. And then he had all the time in the world to make the throw in the first, because Freddie Freeman, with his head down, was standing on third base by the time the ball was coming back into the infield to first base, had no idea what had just happened. But again, there's so many good things there that you're like, man, could he just have come away with one or two more hits? And I think we'd be having a very different approach and tone to this podcast after this game.
The Nats, if you're watching these games, they are in the bulk of these games. They are playing competitive baseball. Now, you know, the run differential doesn't necessarily suggest that. The Nats are 10-14 with a minus 22 run differential. But this early in the season, the run differential can be skewed by a bad loss or two. The Nats did have that 11-2 loss in game two of this series. But, you know, as the season now is starting to take shape, I mean, we're 24 games into this thing. I think you are seeing good stuff from the Nats. They're not like putting forth performances that are shameful or anything like that. It's just a matter of, you know, sealing the deal in these games, like taking games that are winnable and converting them into wins. We're not seeing enough of that.
Yeah, and I think that's the next step in their development. They've been blown out a couple of times, but really not the case most often. And, you know, it's going to sound, you know, like loser talk or something, but like they hadn't been swept yet this year. So to even be in that position, it finally happened. But if you're going to get swept, this isn't the worst team in the world to have that happen to. I come out of this feeling pretty encouraged about where they are. Now, they've got the Marlins next four games. If they can take three out of four against what's a very bad Marlins team, then I think everything's fine. Now, if they struggle there, you got some concerns. I do worry about the lineup. Like, are they ever going to get this thing going? There are some guys in the middle of that order who are really, really struggling right now. But as we know, there is help coming eventually in that department. And so if you can keep getting the kind of pitching that they're getting, playing the good defense that they're getting, and for the most part, good base running, I think there's a lot of positive steps here. You just want it to start to show up a little more in the one loss column. I think that's the frustrating part of it.
Hey guys, Al Galdi for Window Nation. Are you frustrated by higher and higher heating and cooling bills? Have you finally had enough of the frigid drafts or moisture coming through your windows? We'll take a listen to the great offer being extended by Window Nation to listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. If your windows are cracked or leaking and or won't open or stay open, now is the time to call Window Nation, which is offering the following deal to listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. Two free windows for every two windows that you buy, plus zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 24 months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com and make sure that you tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast. Upgrade the look, feel, and value of your home with great new Window Nation windows. Window Nation is the best, and take advantage of the offer. Two free windows for every two windows that you buy, plus zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 24 months. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. And make sure that you tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Former National delivers. Manessis swings, grounds it toward the middle, and on through into left center field, a base hit for Manessis. Up with the ball is Baez, the center fielder. In from third to score is C.J. Abrams. So the Nationals are on the board. Manessa's third hit of the game. He drives in his 10th run of the season. And it's now the Dodgers 2 and the Nationals 1.
So let's tackle this issue that is the Nationals offense. So the Nats in this game on Thursday, just the one run, just 7 hits, which were comprised of 2 doubles and 5 singles. The Nats worked just 1 walk. The Nats struck out 13 times. You mentioned some guys who are struggling for the Nats right now. Some names that stand out. Joey Gallo, he on Thursday as the Nats starting right fielder and number 6 batter, 0-for-3 with a walk and 3 strikeouts. Your Joey Gallo slash line now for this regular season. Batting average of 129 on base percentage of 299, slugging percentage of 329. We know the deal with Gallo, 3 true outcomes. He's giving us 2 of the 3 outcomes. He's striking out a ton, and he is drawing some walks, but he's not hitting home runs, and that's a problem. He is here to hit homers, and if he's not hitting home runs, that takes away a sizable part of the value and really of the whole point of having Joey Gallo. He's not homering right now. Eddie Rosario, he was the Nats starting left fielder and number 7 batter on Thursday. 0-for-2. Eddie Rosario is struggling something fierce so far in this regular season. Batting average of 107 and on-base percentage of 150, a slugging percentage of 196. There are other people who we could bring up. Jesse Winker has cooled off, but Jesse Winker did a lot of good stuff in the initial weeks of this season. C.J. Abrams didn't necessarily have his best series, but he has had a terrific season so far. But I really hone in on those two, Gallo and Rosario, especially now with some injuries to Nats outfielders. The Nats need Gallo and Rosario to be better.
Yeah, 100%. And they don't need these guys to be anything they haven't been in the past. They just need to be for them to be who they are consistently throughout their career. You know, with Gallo, I was thinking about this watching this game. There was a huge strike zone. The plate umpire had a bad game. Let's put that out there. And yet, not just on this day, but overall, I feel like Joey Gallo, I know he draws walks, but boy, sometimes it feels like just swing the bat. 3-2 count, if it's anywhere close, go for it. Maybe you might get lucky, make contact and do something, because he's getting called out on strikes a lot. It's not just big swings and misses. There's been a lot of called third strikes from him. And especially when he's up there with runners on base. Look, home runs are great, of course. You can't always just count on that happening. Sometimes you just put the bat on the ball and it's going to get a runner in. And in the case like this game, that's all it would have taken. Now, that's not who he is, unfortunately. And so I don't know you can suddenly turn him into somebody that he's never been. But that was my fear all along without signing is, yeah, he might hit his 30 homers, but when does he hit them? How meaningful are they? Does he give you good quality at bats when you need them in big spots in games? And he has not really done that at all. In Rosario's case, I couldn't believe this. I had to look it up to like make sure this is true. He doesn't have a hit at home yet this year. He's 0-for-24 at home. Not good. Now, he hit a ball as hard as you can hit it, 104.8 miles an hour in the fifth inning. And Yamamoto's life flashed before his eyes in the split second he had to react to it. Somehow he caught it. So I'll give Rosario a little credit for saying he is starting to hit the ball a little harder. Historically, he's had rough Aprils and then gotten better after that. But boy, he better get it together soon. I liked that signing at the time. I thought this is a guy with a good track record who can do a lot of good things for you, has been on winning teams in the past. Up to this point, he has provided very little for them. And with Lane Thomas out, as you said, you're going to need it. He's probably going to be in there more. They have to get him going. And you do wonder how long the leash is on some of these guys. You can say they have track records. You don't give up on anybody in April. Okay, that's all fair. But we're almost to May. And at some point, you do have to see some results. You can't just keep trotting them out there. I know in the past, maybe they would have done that. I feel like this team's trying to turn a corner here that you can't just keep trotting the same guys out there every day, no matter their track record, if they're not producing.
And these guys are all stopgap measures. I mean, Rosario, Gallo, even Winker, they are on the cheap signings. They are here for this year and probably not beyond. And so there is no reason to feel any like extreme loyalty to them. You know, the Nats for a while had decent overall offensive numbers in terms of team offensive numbers. Those numbers have come tumbling down. The Nats for this regular season, team batting average of 231, team on base percentage of 309, team slugging percentage of 366. C.J. Abrams has 6 home runs. After that, your next highest home run total is Joey Gallo's 3 and then multiple guys with 2. I mean, aside from Abrams, this team is right back to not hitting home runs. So you certainly want to see that change. Now, an offensive bright spot for the Nats on Thursday was Joey Meneses. He was struggling big time. He has gotten going here a little bit over these last few games. We'll see if this is sustained. But Meneses on Thursday as the Nats starting first baseman and number three batter, 3-for-4 with a double, an RBI single, and another single. Meneses in the bottom of the fourth, a leadoff first pitch double to left field for his, get this, first extra base hit since March 30th. That was something when I saw that. I mean, Thursday was April 25th. Meneses had not had an extra base hit since March 30th, almost a full month. In the bottom of the sixth, had a two-out first pitch single up the middle, and Meneses in a Nats one-run eighth, a one-out RBI single up the middle off former Nats reliever Daniel Hudson to cut the Nats deficit to 2-1. So the RBI single reminiscent of the Joey Meneses of last season. Last five games now 9-for-19, a double, 8 singles, 2 walks. Like last season, he's basically not hitting for any power, but he is starting to pile up the singles, and that's a lot better than what he had been doing.
And coming through in those spots where they need it, and that's who he is. He may never be that big home run guy. He can still be productive if he delivers singles and doubles at the right moments with runners on base. And he started to do that the last, you know, few days. Now, he did, in his defense, he should have had a double for that walk-off earlier in the homestand. He never made it to second base because they all mobbed him before he got there. So officially, he's credited with the single, but, you know, it should have been a double. But yeah, had not had an extra base hit since the opening series in Cincinnati. Did you also know Joey Meneses was Yamamoto's teammate briefly with the Oryx Buffaloes in 2019? We forget that was one of Joey's many stops on his path to the big leagues. I asked him if it made any difference knowing him. He kind of laughed and said, no, I don't think that really helps all that much. Well, he was about the only one who did have any success against Yamamoto. So maybe actually knowing him a little bit did make a difference for him, at least.
The Nats' other extra base hit on Thursday came from the aforementioned Jacob Young. He is the Nats' starting center fielder and number nine batter, 1-for-3 with a hustle double. This was good. Bottom of the third, a one-out hustle double to left field on an 0-2 pitch. And then that terrific defensive play that Mark talked about. But beyond the work of Meneses and Jacob Young, not much happening with the Nats offensively in this game. The Nats do finally have K-Bert Ruiz back. That's good. The Nats on Thursday morning announced having reinstated K-Bert from the 10-day injured list, which he had been on since April 15th, retroactive to April 12th with the influenza. An influenza that pretty clearly is making its way around the Nats. This past Tuesday afternoon put reliever Robert Garcia on the 15-day injured list due to influenza. And Nick Senzel for this game on Thursday, a late scratch due to, I guess, illness. We hope he doesn't have the flu, but I guess potentially he does have the flu. We'll see. But good to see K-Bert back out there. He is the Nats starting catcher and number five batter. Dealt with the flu for a while, as we know. He went 0-for-4 in this game. Now, as we remember, he was not actually placed on the injured list until a good bit of time into his bout with the influenza. This was his first major league game. He had played some rehab games in the minors, but his first major league game since April 8th. He missed almost 3 weeks with this illness.
Yeah, not ideal, as we've talked about the process, how that all came about. And even more bizarre to me, I think, is that Riley Adams caught 11 of the 13 games that they played with Ruiz out. Drew Millis caught one on his first call-up out west and then only caught one other game the rest of his time here. Now, Riley Adams did a great job, and I thought it was interesting that Davey did say they don't want to lose that.
We're definitely going to use him. We want to let him catch, and also we can also DH K-Bear like we've done in the past and let him continue to catch. He's done a great job. He really has.
They want to try to keep Adams going, and so you may see a few more games here coming up where Ruiz is the DH and Adams is the catcher. We saw that some last year. You may see a little bit more of that now that they're both healthy and they want to keep Adams being productive. Ruiz, though, is a guy who needs to get himself going at the plate. Now that he's feeling better again, he is somebody who they need to drive in runs. We know that's been his reputation, and this team could sorely use that right now. So I'm not going to judge him on one game coming off of the flu, but hopefully as he starts to get back in the swing of things, he can start delivering for them some big hits the way that he has done in the past.
Yeah, and Riley Adams has hit this season, and the list of Nats who have truly been productive offensively this season is short, but Adams is on that list, so he deserves to play some, even with K-Bert Ruiz back.
Tim Shover's here to tell you about Game Time. This summer at the Anthem, shows include The Struts, Black Eyed Peas, and Shaky Graves. If you're interested in finding tickets to any of these shows, make sure to check out the Game Time app. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you the complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Buy tickets in seconds with two taps. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code NATSCHAT for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code NATSCHAT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
It'll be a 2-1. Here it is. So we had a drive toward the gap in right center field. Young giving chase, closing. He dives and he caught it. Freeman's all the way to third. This is going to be a double play. Meneses will pick up the throw in and step on first. Freeman's around third, but he's out at first. After a diving catch, turned into a double play for Jacob Young.
We did also have a procedural move with Stone Garrett on Thursday. The Nats on Thursday afternoon announced having actually activated Garrett from the 10-day injured list, but also having optioned him to AAA Rochester, essentially to continue a rehab assignment that he had already begun. So as we know, Garrett is coming off that nasty fractured left fibula and left ankle injury that he suffered at a loss at the New York Yankees last August 23rd. How soon do we think Garrett might be back at the major league level?
Yeah, I'm interested to see that. You're only allowed for a position player 20 days on a rehab assignment before you have to make the move. So by activating him, and he had options, so they were allowed to do this, he's essentially just a minor leaguer now. But I think they still view this as kind of being in rehab mode. He needs to get back into shape, get back into baseball shape, get used to playing every day and all nine innings and all that. So I know that's what they want to do with him. So I imagine it's still going to be a while, and he's going to have to sort of show that he is back to the hitter he was before the injury, I think, before they make that move. Now, when they're struggling to score runs the way they are, I'm sure it's going to be tempting, but I'd caution against counting Stone Garrett as being the upcoming savior for this lineup. He did a very nice job for them for a stretch last summer. This is a major, major injury, and to just think he can step right back in and be really productive, I think might be too much to ask. So you want to see some success from him at AAA. You want to see him playing every day, I think, before you make that move. Hopefully it happens. It'll be really nice to see him back in the big leagues, but I think they have to be, you know, careful there and also understand that he's probably not the solution to all of their offensive problems.
No, he probably is not. Although, like you said, he did do a pretty good job as last season went on. While we're talking about Nationals outfielders in the minors, I know that you have done some investigative work on what the heck is going on with Dylan Cruz. Now, this tends to happen. Injuries in the minors are not as publicized and not as made official as they are in the majors. And so when a minor leaguer gets hurt, you don't always hear about it. You don't always know about it. We dealt with this with Brady House a few seasons ago. Dylan Cruz has been mysteriously absent from some recent games for AA Harrisburg. So what exactly do we know about his situation?
He hasn't played in a week now as we tape this, and that, you know, starts to get you a little concerned. So a few days into it, when I had seen that he wasn't playing, I asked someone who would be in the know what was going on, and they said their understanding was that it was something very minor. They were just being careful about it, didn't want to take any chances, and they had a game the other day in Erie that maybe he could have come back, but it was pouring and the field was really wet and they didn't want to take any chances. So, all right, well, they played a couple more games since then and he still hasn't come back. So I asked again, I asked somebody else, kind of went to a higher authority, shall we say. And what I was told is that it was a hamstring issue, but reiterated again that they were just being ultra cautious with this, did not want to take any chances. This person also mentioned the wet field and the rain that they were dealing with the other day. And then somebody else who actually saw him just the day before said that he was running the bases, doing, you know, pregame drills and looked very good. So, you know, until he's back in the lineup, you don't say with any certainty what's going on. But, you know, the sense I get, believe it or not, from multiple people that I've asked about this, it is a hamstring issue, but the feeling is that it was not serious. They've probably already passed the worst of it, and it's just a matter of time until he comes back, and they're just being extremely careful with him.
Well, we certainly hope for the best with that circumstance. Next up for the Nats, a four-game series at the Miami Marlins. The rare four-game series that goes from a Friday through a Monday. Game one, Friday night at 7:10. Trevor Williams will be the Nats starting pitcher. Game two, Saturday afternoon, 4:10. Mitchell Parker will be the Nats starting pitcher. Game three, Sunday afternoon at 1:40. Patrick Corbin will be the Nats starting pitcher. And game four, Monday evening at 6:40. Jake Irvin will be the Nats starting pitcher. So anytime you play at Miami, you have to brace yourself for the dozens of fans who will be in attendance. But here we are once again in a season in which the Nats are doing better on the road as compared to at home. It's early. This can change. I get that. But I mentioned that 10-14 Nats record, 6-6 on the road versus 4-8 at home. So perhaps a four-game series at the lowly Marlins will do the Nats some good.
Look, they're the lowly Marlins, but the last 2 years, they have dominated the Nationals. So to me, this is a big series for them. The Marlins are a mess right now. Tons of injuries. They don't hit much. They are not playing well. They've been the worst team in the National League, them and the Rockies. If you're the Nats going into this, you have to come out of this and say, we are clearly the better team here, and you need to actually win the games. One thing to play better than them but not win, they need to win these games. So I actually think it's important for them to come out of this with at least three wins before they then go to Texas to face the defending world champs. This is sort of a sign to me. Is there been any real progress? We haven't said very often here since 2021 that there are matchups that clearly favor the Nationals and they need to take advantage of them. This is one of those, and I think it's time for them to show that they can take advantage of it and beat an inferior team.
Well, the Nats' best starting pitcher this season, Trevor Williams, is taking the mound on Friday night, so perhaps he'll set the tone for the rest of the series. You can hit us up on X at Nats_chat. You can email the show, natschatpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on YouTube. Just search Nats Chat. Our YouTube handle is at Nats Chat Podcast, and we have a website that we invite you to check out, natschatpodcast.com, at which you can buy a Nats Chat Podcast t-shirt. All Nationals radio highlights on that chat are courtesy of 106.7 The Fan. For Mark Zuckerman, I'm Al Galdi. We thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on the Nats Chat Podcast.
With the second pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Washington Commanders select Jaden Daniels, quarterback, LSU.